Juko, there was only one form of this imperious god. Every religion established in every culture in your early history had its version of Jehovah. By setting up a hierarchy with an authoritarian god at its head and religious leaders as representatives of this god, the Syrians were able to maintain control of the people. The Syrians could shape what people believed by having these priests, who were trained in the mystery schools, tell people what to believe. This meant they also shaped society, since society developed from the ideas and principles handed down by the priests. From time to time, negative Syrians took on the role of priest and hierophant and sought power over people for their own purposes rather than for the good of society. Societies headed by negative Syrians eventually fell because they became infested with corruption, vice, and licentiousness. Societies headed by negative Syrians could not cohere for long because they lacked the principles that bind a society. So despite some tyranny by the positive Syrians, they did at least provide people with principles on which a society could be built. Without imposing such principles, these early societies would have fallen to their own greed and corruption, just like the negative Syrian societies. Another feature of the exoteric religions the Syrians established was adherence to tradition. This helped the Syrians maintain their authority and control the rate of change within society. By teaching people to value tradition and their elders, they established a set of fundamental beliefs. Without this, what they were teaching might not have carried over from one generation to the next. Rituals were created to contain these teachings in a form that could be passed down from one generation to the next. Such a vehicle for transmitting knowledge was particularly necessary in preliterate times. Rituals were also a way of opening people up to the absolute by altering consciousness. Embedded in the rituals were ways of altering consciousness and loosening the ego's hold so that some degree of transcendence could be experienced. Once people had moved beyond their egos in ritual, convincing them of the value of the universal principles imparted by the priests was easy. In these states, they experienced the beauty and wisdom of the priests' teachings, something that was not so obvious while in their ego consciousness. So rituals reinforced the teachings being given to the people by the priests. Unfortunately, the negative Syrians also found a way to use ritual for their ends. So the Syrian priests gave the people spiritual truths in a form that would be accepted by the people and which would continue to relegate power to the priests. This was for the good of the people. The negative Syrians, on the other hand, had different intentions. They wanted to enslave people. In making the people dependent on the priests, the positive Syrians had left them open to manipulation by the Dark Brotherhood, who from time to time managed to infiltrate the priesthood. The Syrian priests were aware of the negative Syrians' manipulations. However, they could only stop them after they had committed blatant offenses. Therefore, many negative Syrians still managed to perpetrate their negativity, fear, and confusion surreptitiously. Negative Syrians worked insidiously within the priest system and even infiltrated some mystery schools. The priests viewed the negative element as a normal part of living in a world of polarities. They accepted the negative Syrians' presence and allowed them to operate except when they openly broke the rules. This is how it is today, too. As a result of this infiltration, some teachings became corrupted and many were used for ill. What remains today of the teachings are fragments mixed with distortions, although the general teachings can be pieced together. Many of the teachings given to you by the Syrians can be found in your occult literature, along with the distortions. Many of them dealt with the development of psychic abilities. Both black and white magicians develop and use psychic powers, but for different reasons. These special abilities would make them formidable opponents. But white magicians do not engage in battle with black magicians. Black magicians do, however, try to undermine the good works of white magicians. In fact, much of their energy goes into this. Black magicians manage to succeed in many of their endeavors, since white magicians are sworn to use their powers only to serve, not to stop negativity in the world. Negativity is not necessarily a problem in a universe that evolves through the interplay of polarities. Negativity is a fact of life and serves a purpose. Only when negativity overwhelms the positive does it become a problem. The world's condition is one of increasing polarization. As the forces for good have become stronger, so have the forces for evil. Both positive and negative star people and walk-ins have emerged in greater numbers on your planet of late. Perhaps you thought star people and walk-ins could only be positive, since they are more evolved than the average human being. This is not true. Star people and walk-ins from 4th and 5th density service to self-planets have arrived on your planet as well. They are as interested in taking advantage of you as the others are in helping you. As a result, there are many more star people and walk-ins on your planet now than ever before, all coming to help or hinder during this critical period. The negative star people and walk-ins are primarily negative Sirians and negative Orions. They are here for the same purpose, although they have no intention of sharing the spoils if they succeed. So although they are cooperating now, they would quarrel over anything they managed to obtain. They are the cult leaders and those drawn to the dark arts and Satanism. They are the Jim Joneses and Reverend Moons of the world. They are easily spotted. They are charismatic, intelligent, revolutionary, unconventional, and skilled in leadership and communication. They have what it takes to deceive and manipulate naive, idealistic youth and other vulnerable people. Some are in it for the power, while others are trying to undermine the Earth's transformation. Many of the latter are not even conscious of this mission, but are acting on unconscious suggestions received through dreams and intuition. However, others are eminently conscious of the plan, usually through psychic means like channeling. So just as positive extraterrestrials are working through star people and walk-ins, so are negative extraterrestrials. Psychic abilities are therefore very important to both the negative plan and the positive one. Psychic abilities are being used by both the positive and the negative forces to accomplish their goals. This is one reason for increased interest in them. Both positive and negative star people and walk-ins are clamoring to develop these abilities. Some are conscious of why they want them, but most are not. Information about how to develop psychic abilities is being made available now by both groups. The negative extraterrestrials' plan is loose. Negative star people and walk-ins are to do whatever they can to confuse people, instill fear, undermine positive action, and foster distrust of the government. The methods are not prescribed but up to the individual. Most of these negative star people and walk-ins are full of anger, pessimism, and other forms of negativity. Many do not understand the motivation behind their negative actions but feel compelled to act out their negativity. As a result, they attract others who are equally out of harmony. They aren't in harmony with them either, but that doesn't matter. They are more comfortable around other negative people than positive people. Negative star people and walk-ins who are aware of their mission are as dedicated to it as positive star people and walk-ins are to theirs. However, they are less powerful than the servers because they are less evolved than them in nearly every way, even though they are still far more intellectually evolved than the average human being. They do have cleverness and intellect on their side, but that is not enough to make them a match for positive forces. Yes, negative forces also have psychic powers. But without the ability to organize and cooperate, psychic powers are not as useful as you might think. Not being able to cooperate and subordinate themselves is the negative's worst handicap. This flaw greatly diminishes their power. Even though they have roles, they often do not fulfill them because they are too busy fighting over autonomy and leadership. They all want to lead and resent taking directions, even when it is in their best interest. Because of this, the negatives are not a serious threat. If they were, the positive forces would find a way to render them ineffective. But they will allow some negativity to exist in this free will world of yours. The Sirius star system is unique in having one of the largest numbers of fifth density self-servers anywhere. Since they are in your corner of the universe, that is significant. They are part of your galactic family, so you reincarnate there and they reincarnate here. All the extraterrestrials being introduced to you through these pages are members of your galactic family. This means that when you die, You might not come back to Earth immediately but reincarnate on any of the other planets in your galactic family of a similar density. There you may stay only briefly or for many incarnations before you reincarnate somewhere else. You may be used to thinking of yourself as reincarnating only on one planet Earth, repeatedly until you evolve beyond the physical plane. However, you actually reincarnate on other planets besides Earth while you are evolving through the physical plane, third and fourth density. You are considered a star person on the planet you go to only if you have evolved beyond the density of that planet. For instance, if you are third density and you reincarnate on a third density planet, you would not be considered a star person. But if you are fourth density and you reincarnate on a third density planet, you would. The difference between star people and others is that star people do not reincarnate on a planet for their own growth, although they do evolve the, as much as to help that world. There are third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh density planets in your galactic family. So star people and walk-ins visiting Earth may be fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh density. Seventh density star people are extremely rare. Fifth density star people are fairly common, as are fourth density. Fourth density star people are a little more advanced than the ordinary Earth inhabitant, similar to the old souls on your planet. To add to the confusion, time is not actually linear, past, present, and future coexist simultaneously. This means that you could meet extraterrestrials from the past and from the future, not just from the present. As you might expect, extraterrestrials from the past are less evolved than their present or future selves. The negative Orions, for instance, are from the past, while the positive Orions are from the present. The negative Sirians, on the other hand, are from the present. This is the major difference between the negative Orions and the negative Sirians. The negative Sirians are more advanced than the negative Orions. We are leading up to the next chapter, about the Orions, by way of describing the Sirians because the Orions and the Sirians are closely related. The Orions existed within the Sirius star system before they moved to the Orion star system. The negative Orions enter your world the same way the Sirians do, through reincarnation, walk-in, and materialization. Unlike the Sirians of late, the negative Orions have been materializing on your planet recently, most commonly as the infamous Men in Black. We will say more about them in the next chapter. Because the negative Sirians are more evolved than the negative Orions, they often act as guides to them. That is one of their roles. They are the ones sending messages to the negative Orion star people and walk-ins psychically and through the subconscious mind. Other negative Orions are working with them, but the negative Sirians are heading this operation. The negative Sirians figure they will use the negative Orions and then get rid of them. The negative Orions are aware of this, but they are not intimidated by it. A sense of invincibility is another failing of self-servers. The positive Sirians are not concerned about the negative Sirians' activities on your planet. They understand their methods and are following their activities closely. This is one advantage the positives have over the negatives. They understand the psychology of self-servers, while the opposite is not true. The positive Sirians will let the negative Sirians go about their business until the negatives interfere with them. When this happens, the positive Sirians will stop the negative Sirians. Your planet is a battleground of sorts, but that shouldn't surprise you. Throughout history, many have seen it as a battleground for good and evil. This is truer now than ever. Fortunately, the forces for good still far outweigh the forces for evil, even though more of each exists than ever before. Moreover, good has always had advantages over evil. The positive Sirians will continue to work through channels, psychics, the subconscious mind, and dreams. They may manifest briefly if necessary, but mostly, they will remain hidden. This in no way diminishes their importance. They have always been the most significant group of extraterrestrials involved with your world. They will continue to guide and serve you during these times, and they will do it with more understanding and wisdom than ever before because of what they have learned from being your teachers and your gods. Chapter 4. The Orions. The negative Orions like to think they are important to the negative's mission to capture the Earth, but their importance and impact are minor. Hence, the brevity of this chapter. The negative Orions are the most visible of the service to self-extraterrestrials, usually taking the form of men in black. Others have arrived as star people and walk-ins. Thus, the negative Orions are involved with Earth in all the ways already described, through materialization as men in black, as star people and walk-ins, and through channeling and other psychic means. Since negative Orions are third, fourth, and fifth density, not every Orion who reincarnates here would be considered a star person. Third density Orions would not. Most of the negative Orions on your planet are reincarnations and fourth density star people and walk-ins, making the Orions as a whole the least evolved of the extraterrestrial groups visiting you. Men in black, who are fifth density, are rare, although quite visible. Men in black are fifth density service to self Orions who temporarily take on a body through materialization to achieve their negative goals. Thus, they can affect matter when they need to and dematerialize when it is no longer expedient. The bodies they take on are usually of male gender dressed anachronistically in a 1940s style dark suit and hat. They look pale, sickly, unattractive, and emotionless. They impress people as extremely odd, not only because of their clothing and lack of emotion, but because of their whole demeanor. They have not studied your culture sufficiently to imitate you well, so they seem strange to you. The men in black are aware that they seem strange to you. That's fine with them, as they are not here to win your favor or even to fool you, but to go about their business. Your reactions rarely interfere with this, so they have not bothered to refine their act. In fact, they like startling and scaring people. After all, this is something self-servers enjoy, so they are not the least bit concerned about what you think of them. The more mystery and fear they can create, the better. However, mostly, they are just trying to get their work done. The men in black are following a plan. They want you to believe that anyone who claims to have seen a UFO is being spied on by your government. Consequently, they pose as government agents and threaten those who make such claims. They are not trying to cover up evidence of UFOs, they just want you to think your government will do anything to keep this information secret. It's not hard to leave people with this impression, since your government has, indeed, been running a UFO cover-up. That is what makes the Men in Black's job so easy. The Men in Black are drawing attention to the government's cover-up by acting so strangely and by threatening people. The reason they want you to think your government is intimidating people is that they want you to believe your government is a threat to its citizens. They don't want you to believe in your government, or in democracy for that matter. Democracy is counter to any political system they would ever create, since they believe in subjugating people, which is what they hope to do to you. These Orions come from a system, in the past, with only two social roles, rulers and slaves. They believe they have the right and the duty to subjugate people and that those who succeed deserve to rule. They also believe that those who don't succeed deserve to be slaves. Slaves in the Orion system also believe this, for this philosophy has pervaded their thinking for generations. So the oppressed have internalized their oppression so fully that the rulers have to do very little to keep them serving them. This leaves two classes of people, perpetrators and victims. These Orions have reincarnated on Earth throughout history as either perpetrators or victims. On Earth, they act out one of these roles until they learn to act differently. Victims are easy to spot, since they are victimized repeatedly by a variety of people in a variety of ways. They keep playing this role until they decide they won't take it anymore. At this point, they often become crusaders for victims' rights, which is the jewel in this experience and the balancing of it. Perpetrators also remain perpetrators until it no longer works for them. Their reformation usually occurs through role reversal by being victimized, enslaved, or incarcerated. The roles of perpetrator and victim are not easily balanced on Orion, where the ideology supports them. This is one reason they reincarnate on Earth and elsewhere where victimization is not tolerated. You are not as lost to negativity as you think. Even though much victimization occurs on Earth, your religious beliefs do not support it. Your religions are founded on positive values, even if people sometimes fail to live up to them. So you see, the Earth is a place where polarities can be balanced. While Orions are balancing their polarities by reincarnating here, they are providing the Earth with some of the negativity it needs to evolve. So a symbiotic relationship has always existed between the Orion system and Earth. You need them and they need you. It may seem like an odd way to need someone, but the negative pole or service to self is not viewed by the Creator as evil. The terms good and evil have been used for your sake, since you can relate to them. But the Creator's view is that all creations are good. The men in black have a few other tasks besides undermining people's trust in the government. One is to collect information for the negative extraterrestrials. They do this by traveling about and observing the activities of people and, on occasion, interacting with them. They sometimes stay for days on Earth going about such business, making it necessary for them to eat, sleep, and travel by ordinary means. They do not travel by dematerializing for short trips because it takes too much energy. Sometimes they hitchhike, since this is one way they can get from place to place without currency. When they need currency, they either materialize it, which takes considerable knowledge of currency, or they steal it, primarily by dematerializing it and rematerializing it. The men in black often get the information they want from people because people are so stunned by them that they just give it to them. People are particularly unlikely to be rude to exceptional-looking people, and men in black certainly are that. So despite the fear and suspicion they evoke, they easily get what they want from surprised and unsuspecting people. Usually what they are after is information about people, who lives where and with whom. In asking such questions, they are trying to find those whom they have heard might be useful to them. They are not very clever at tracking people down. It often takes them many visits to Earth just to find one of the people they are looking for, since they are so unfamiliar with your ways. Usually, they are looking for Orion Star people and walk-ins to inform them of their identity and the negative's mission. However, they are often unsuccessful because if the individual is not already aware of being a star person or walk-in, the men in black are not very well received. Thus, the Orions are bunglers, who take their work seriously but whom others do not take very seriously, including the other extraterrestrials. Positive Orions have now joined the scene. They have only recently become involved with Earth, primarily by working through channels and psychics. They are also acting as guides to their negative comrades, but with little effect. The negative Orions are more open to the negative Sirians. The positive Orions evolved from the negative Orions after some very dark times in the Orion system. During the darkest of times, a savior and avatar was born to them, who changed their service to self beliefs. As a result, the Orions evolved from service to self to service to others, but only after many thousands of years. The positive Orions are contacting you from the Orion present, while the negative Orions are from their past. They regret the negative Orions' behavior, although they also understand that someone must play the part of negativity on your planet. The positive Orions ardently hope to serve you. Chapter 5, Visitors. The history of this race is not only interesting but important to you. It is important because you are traveling down the road they traveled many millennia ago. They regret they traveled this road and have much to teach you about where they went wrong and what they would have done differently. You are giving them the chance to redo their past by providing them with the genetic keys to go backwards in time. You are also giving them the opportunity to balance their mistakes by teaching you. This is your relationship with the Zeta Reticuli. Visitors only recently became aware of you. They had never interacted with the human race before their arrival in mid-century. They heard the call for help sent out by your extraterrestrial guardians at the advent of the atomic age. When civilizations reach this point in their development, and many inevitably do, warnings are sent out to those who might be affected. Visitors received this call because it was thought they might be able to convince you to turn away from nuclear power. The elders of your planet, the Syrians in particular, saw the possibility of mutual aid and told the Zetas about you. The Zetas were elated to discover there was a race so like them genetically and one to which they could pay their karmic dues. They eagerly accepted the challenge of helping you and, in the process, of helping themselves. The only problem was that approaching you directly would probably create too much disturbance on Earth. This had to be handled carefully. So the extraterrestrials guarding your planet devised a plan. Their plan was to introduce themselves gradually to you, to secure soul agreements with certain people to help, and to save genetic material in case you destroyed yourselves and your environment with nuclear weapons before they could stop you. They also planned to use the Pleiadians as go-betweens and peacemakers. Starting in the late 1940s, the Zetas began observing you and abducting people for their genetic and experimental needs. They abducted only those from whom they received permission on a soul level. And, for their protection, they arranged for abductees to forget the abduction. Nevertheless, some still recalled these events through hypnosis. This was one of the plan's imperfections. The Zetas did not mean to traumatize their subjects. They regret the problems this has caused people, but they feel justified, based on the soul agreements, in continuing their activities. On the positive side, the accounts of abductees have helped the public gradually become acquainted with extraterrestrials. The Zetas carry out their work mostly at night, when they are least likely to be perceived and when their subjects are likely to be asleep. They appear in the daytime only in remote, isolated areas where they will not be observed by bystanders. They enter people's homes by disassembling and reassembling their atoms rather than by going through doors or windows. They can do the same for abductees, who either travel with them physically or in their astral body. Sometimes the Zetas find it easier to just use the astral body, while leaving the physical body behind in a state of protected sleep. But when they need the physical body, they propel it through walls and through the air to their spaceship, where the necessary medical equipment is waiting. This can be done so quietly and with so little intrusion that others in the house are unaware of what is happening. Zetas also can make themselves invisible, but they prefer not to use their energy this way unless they have to. They are skilled in hypnosis as well, which enables them to put household members or other possible spectators in deep states from which they will not awaken until a certain signal is given. You may be wondering why the Zetas don't use the Pleiadians for the abductions if they are so concerned about frightening people. They don't use Pleiadians because the Pleiadians do not have the technical skills needed to transport people and because most people don't recall the night's activities anyway. Besides, abduction even by kindly, human-looking beings would be disturbing to most people. In the end, only a small percentage of abductees recall their abductions, which gives you an idea of how common they are. They are a nightly affair. The Zeta abductions are different from the Greys in several ways. First, although both the Zetas and the Greys are using your genes to improve their species, their intentions are very different. The Zetas intend to return to their home bases and resume their lives once they have regained their health and viability. The Greys, on the other hand, hope to remain on Earth with you as their slaves. That is quite a difference. Second, while the Zetas return their subjects unharmed, the Greys have been known to kill, mutilate, and dismember their subjects, as you might do in your laboratory experiments with animals. Many missing persons, including many children, have been taken by the Greys and killed, although painlessly. The Greys have no more respect for human life than most of you have for animals or plants. They view you as a lower form of life, even though you could be their ancestors. You are to them what cavemen or apes might be to you, a scientific curiosity. This should cause you to reflect on your treatment of other forms of life. The third difference is that the Greys purposely incite fear in their subjects because they are studying fear in human beings. Once they find a way to create a permanent state of fear in you, they can control you. Since fear is caused by chemicals, their plan is feasible and clever, befitting the most diabolical of self-servers. The Zetas, on the other hand, do not want to frighten you, although they realize they do. Their zitters try to communicate safety and calmness to you. However, not everyone receives their soothing telepathic messages because they are often blocked by fright.